Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Michael K.
It's wacky times, Don. That's the thing. It's wacky times.
Oh, my God. Every day it's something new. Something you can't prepare for. Something that you're like, I wonder what's going to happen today. I wonder what the topic of conversation is going to be today. And then you think you got a handle on it. And then somebody sings an anthem. Somebody says something. Somebody does something. Somebody asks something. And you're like,
you know what? Welcome to the show, everyone.
Hi.
Wolfpack edition. Peter
right.
And Don on the K Show.
Why not?
We'll get to that national anthem here in a second. But you know what? You know what I realized?
What is that?
I did a hell of a program today, by the way, with my friend Dave Rothenberg.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. You got any of the drops over there from it today?
Yeah, there's drops.
Oh, yeah. Drops happen. Things happened on that show.
I heard that Anthony did E&N.
Oh, yeah.
My bar mitzvah gift for son one.
For Ben, whose name you've clearly forgotten that in this moment.
That is true.
I'm visibly excited.
All right. Now. Yeah, you are. How you doing?
What?
I know.
So he was acknowledging.
Yeah, and he's into it.
Are you trying to get me going?
I watched a movie about these Von Erich
brothers. You watched the movie?
I like the movie.
This was big for me.
That's my jam.
That happened today, as well as...
I love the Von Erich brothers.
Which really, it just pleases me. It tickles me.
That's my jam.
But you know what it made me realize? This whole conversation today, whenever... myself in particular, but Don also, like, you know, go off the rails and get too much into the silliness. There's always like this, guy, we got to bring it back to serious sports. And then the moment something silly happens with the national anthem, Don, you would have thought the malice at the palace happened last night, the amount of conversation about this national anthem.
Well, when everybody's talking about it, it's probably a good idea to have an opinion on it, no?
Was it that big a story?
Well, first of all, I didn't realize that we had to have an anthem before a home run derby.
You and I are so sympathetic. I said on the show with Dave today, I went, we really have to have the national anthem before the derby? I mean, it's sports event adjacent.
Yeah.
Then Dave pointed out, but you do it before every sporting event. I'm like, it's so crazy. We are a crazy country. I just know everyone, we're crazy. What does patriotism have to do with a random home
run nobody
derby?
Wants to be the first one to say we're not doing
enough
it. And you know in the current climate that we're in.
Oh, boy.
If for some reason they didn't do the anthem last night, people would be freaking out. What do you want, American? You're unpatriotic. But it I don't know. It just seemed a little over the top. I mean, it's sports event adjacent,
well,
right? It's an event, but it's not a game. I mean, the idea is before a game, but I guess now before any sporting event, there has to be an anthem, and it was performed poorly.
I mean, what do you think about this version?
Can you see some scantily light? Okay, I'm done.
Who was that?
Who do you think?
You know what?
I don't know.
That was Griffin.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, we had him give
a
shot.
Now that you know who it is, you're like, you know what? It's not that bad.
No, he did all right, I think.
If anybody else, I would have graded differently. But with him, I'm willing to grade it on a curve.
Well, now it turns out that the young lady who sung the national anthem last night that everyone's been talking about, this horrifying rendition, she put out a statement earlier today apologizing for what happened, saying she was drunk and that she's checking into rehab. But then she sort of like told on herself, in my opinion, that the statement was a little bit, maybe forced. Is forced the wrong word?
Convenient? Here it is, okay?
Please read it.
This is Ingrid Andress, who I love. There's a song of hers that I like. Okay. So I knew of her. I didn't recognize her last night. But then after everything kind of went down, I'm like, oh, yeah, I did download one of her songs. I do like one of her songs. She's very good. So this isn't somebody that's talentless. She's a ton of talent. She just had a really bad night.
Bad night.
So we're all thinking, was she sick? Was she ill? There was speculation that maybe there was some sort of a protest, although I don't know why there would be a protest, and you wouldn't know what she's protesting. That would be a poor protest.
Well, there's a lot of protesting like that.
But in this particular case, you'd like to have some idea if there was a protest. But no, it wasn't a protest. So she came out with this statement, which I don't know how to take it, Peter. Well, I actually do know how to take it, but I'm wondering if you agree with me. This is her statement. I'm not going to BS, y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. It was not me last night. I apologize to MLB, all the fans, and this country I love so much for that rendition. Okay? And if that was it, I'd be like, okay,
perfect.
Fine. You know, let's get up. Let's get off the subject. But then she continued, unfortunately. I'll let you all know how rehab is. I hear it's super fun.
That's my jam.
So are you going to rehab? Is this some joke? Are you just going to rehab so the world's supposed to feel sorry for you? You lose me in that last sentence. And I think you said it off the air during our meeting. I'm sure her PR department's like, really? That's a bad job with that last sentence. So I don't know whether to take her seriously, whether she's just trying to be lighthearted in a serious moment. Again, this is text, so you don't know tone. Maybe if she issued a video and she was just kind of joking, she's trying to be lighthearted. It just comes across as you're not really taking this seriously. So let the jokes commence. And the other thing I'm going to throw out there too, I doubt very seriously that she was at some saloon around the corner from the stadium and got all hammered and showed up drunk. She was probably consuming alcohol at the event, which happened to Joe Namath when he had his incident at the Jet Titan game. That's what happened to Brett Hull at the parade when he's singing Gloria, completely intoxicated. It seems like these people all get juiced up at the event that they're at. Maybe it's time to kind of dial down the free drinks when you're asking somebody to perform and be in front of a microphone.
I think I got your number, Gloria.
You know, on a night where somebody's being honored, maybe don't get them hammered before they've got to go talk to the 80,000 people in front of a microphone. Like, maybe some of these sports organizations and
them.
Teams.
It's on the person.
No, I get it. Listen, I'm not
an
enabler.
She obviously has a problem.
I'm not. That's fine. I'm just saying that, is it so wrong that when you know somebody's going to sing an anthem or somebody's going to go on television or somebody's going to grab a microphone, that somebody at least keeps an eye to make sure that they're okay? And if they're not okay, then pivot. Now, listen, Brett Hull was at a parade. No harm, no foul, right? No big deal. He might have embarrassed himself. Knowing Brett Hull, he was probably pretty comfortable.
I think I got your number, Gloria.
Sounded great.
And with the Jets, maybe they didn't realize he'd be on Monday Night Football's microphone.
Well, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't working that night.
No, he wasn't. But I'm just saying is that you do realize that these public figures might end up in front of a microphone. It's kind of just for their own sake, kind of keep an eye. Listen, it's Ingrid's fault. If she's got a problem, she's got a problem. You know, she's a big girl. She's an adult. She should be able to govern her own drinking. But, you know, don't feel bad for Major League Baseball when it's possible that the alcohol she consumed was on them. Okay, bars do get in trouble for letting somebody leave intoxicated when they get behind the wheel of a car. Nobody is taking the responsibility away from the person that makes the decision to get behind the wheel.
But when you have a celebrity who's enlisted for something like this,
okay,
they have a green room,
mm-hmm,
and they probably have their rider. And on the rider, it was probably two bottles of tequila.
Okay.
And then she was with her people sitting around probably getting drunk.
Okay.
It's not really on anyone except her.
Okay. No,
that's my guess.
I agree it's on her.
I mean, baseball
but
shouldn't
also,
say, no, we
she's
can't
She's not
give it to
the
you.
Only victim in this thing. I mean, Major League Baseball's embarrassed, right? It's their event. And now this thing is going viral. Nobody's opening the show. Maybe we should, but I'm saying that nobody's talking about the Home Run Derby.
Don.
Nobody's talking about how much fun they had watching the broadcast.
Don.
This is what they're talking about today.
I got. I don't want to steal point guard at 308.
All right. Well, no, steal.
It's the only reason anyone talks about the home run derby. No one would have talked about the home run derby
at
all.
But that's
it
not,
wouldn't have even been mentioned.
But that's
it's
not,
been number one story all day.
But that's not what Major League Baseball wants.
I get it. But at least people will have some awareness
next year. I would actually applaud them if they were the ones saying, let's get her drunk. Maybe she'll do something stupid and we'll actually get some attention.
So if it was intentional,
then at least by design,
you'd appreciate it.
You know, I mean,
but here, let's go back to the statement though. Because when you see someone puts out the statement and blames it on an alcohol thing, it already reeks of like cleanup. Let's tell the story our way. How do we explain this? Okay, I was drunk. Okay? Because by the way, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there listening who can sing really well that go, oh, I've killed it drunk before. It doesn't mean you had to be horrible just because you were drunk. Many great artists get on stage, get inebriated, and still absolutely kill it.
Oh, a lot of them.
So
some of them can't perform otherwise.
Right, exactly. So it's not necessarily the answer. So I'm looking at it and going, all right, you gave a statement saying you have a problem. I have a great deal of respect for people deciding it's when it's time to go into program. Good for her. But the end of that statement, man, the I hear it's a great time, Don, it's sort of like laughing in the middle of the apology.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're taking it very serious.
By the way, I just heard this recently. Her behavior was so deplorable that I've actually heard she's in line to do the Yankees White Sox series in 3 weeks. It's unbelievable. They already booked her over in the Bronx. Can you believe that?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I did not realize.
Not what I expected, but they said when you get out, first stop Yankee Stadium.
So, listen, not a big deal. I'm embarrassed for her. She needs to know better. And if she does have a problem, hopefully she takes it seriously, Peter, because if you're not going to admit you have a problem, then you're wasting your time.
Well, she like pseudo admitted she had a problem, but then she made it a joke. And
right. So,
listen,
but
she's going to find out.
If she treats the rehab as a joke, she'll get nothing out of it.
Well, she'll find out quickly whether or not she's about that life. And listen, there are a lot of people who go to rehab many times and don't take it seriously till the seventh. You know what I mean? You got to get there when you're ready to get there. But I will tell you, I'm just being honest. I hate to say this. This was not bad for her career. This was huge.
No, it's music, man. There is no...
Yeah, you don't listen. It's not like she was, you know, whatever. She's not a teacher. She's not a college professor who acted inappropriately. She's a musician who got drunk. Now, Don, I never knew who this person was. Now she has an entire story when she comes back.
I was flipping around because it seems like there's a country music awards every month.
One has more awards.
And I think ABC had it one time a couple of years ago or one of the events, and it spilled past 11 o'clock, and I was going to watch the news. And apparently she won Song of the Year. This is the song I know her for.
Okay.
Maybe you've heard it.
If I bring I guess I better warn ya. She falls in love a little faster than I.
Beautiful song, beautiful voice.
That's my jam.
I like it. And I downloaded it like an old man, and it pops up every once in a while on my my iPad, and I'll listen.
That's my jam.
So, but Peter's right. There is,
that's a win.
The one area of the world where it doesn't matter. You don't have to be politically correct. You don't have to be sober. You don't have to do the right thing. Is in music.
I like this one. You heard this one, Don?
Maybe I'm just wishful drinking.
That's my jam.
Something to sink in.
Well, she was wishful drinking last night. Matter of fact, she didn't have to wish for it. She was there.
So, but
that's
right.
My jam.
It's a shot in the dark.
No, she's good. She's a good poppy country singer. I enjoy her.
Listen, there is no...
Her streams are going to be up so high tomorrow. Dude, I have now played her. Hold on. This woman who I've never heard of in my life, and she has a lot of streams. I'm not trying to downplay her. She's a big deal. She's just not in our world, either mine or yours.
Well, she was partially in my world for that song.
For 1 second, right. When you accidentally were on either CMTs or the...
Isn't
you don't even
that
know what
how
show
you
was.
Discover things?
I'm just saying, she's not in your day-to-day world. You don't flip to country... You don't... Do you flip on the country station on Sirius a lot?
But Outlaw Country? No, I do not.
Yeah, exactly. So
I'm not a fan.
So she's tangentially in your world. And I now have played her... I've done 3 radio shows today. Which is already a problem, but I've done 3 radio shows today. I've played her on all 3 shows.
So it's
a good day for whatever her name. Ingrid Andres.
Yeah, like, but when what was it? When Randy Johnson threw a pitch and killed a pigeon. it was like a big deal, and it was like, he almost got arrested.
Right.
You know, when Ozzy bit off the head of a bat, people thought it was adorable. When Alice Cooper threw a chicken in the crowd, and that chicken was absolutely torn apart, and Alice said, I thought that it could fly, people thought it was funny, and it's something we talk about. But obviously, when you get more buttoned-up industries, it's bad. But in music, you're right. It's probably going to end up helping her career. But if she does have a serious problem, then hopefully she will get that corrected for sure. Pete Alonso did not win the Home Run Derby.
I didn't watch for more than 30 seconds.
And listen, it's just not my thing. But you watch because there's nothing else on. You know, Marco's kind of interested in home runs and all that. But listen, it's not captivating. But what came from it was that the locals spoke. Because you've got two high-powered free agents on both respective teams, in Soto and Alonso. And both of them spoke. And I thought both of them went about their message differently. You probably have the Juan Soto. He was on. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. What he had to say about his pending free agency on the eve and now the day of the All-Star game.
Yeah, will this year's result impact if you want to stay here?
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to affect any of my decision. Whenever we're there, we're going to sit down and look around. But right now, I hope to win another championship with the Yankees. We're trying to do our best, and that's what we focus on.
Not so he's your typical Scott Boras client, not giving too much, not revealing too much. And then you've got Pete Alonso, who's also a free agent, and he did not mince words about where he wants to be.
Yeah, he was asked about his love for New York.
I love New York. I love the Mets. I love being in Queens. Like, it's really been such a special place. I mean, some of my best, not just baseball memories, but life memories have been in New York. And I mean, it's been, I don't know, I think almost 9-10 years. And for me, like, how the fans, the organization has welcomed me, embraced me, like, from day one, not just in the big leagues when I crossed over, but from like when I was on the minor league side too, like it's been awesome. So like I've had not just great baseball experiences, like I've had the best baseball experiences in my life, but I've grown up in New York. I mean, pretty much all my 20s I've been in New York since 21, and now I'm 29. Like, it's been a fantastic experience, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. So I'm, again, super happy to be a Met, super proud to be a Met, and again, like it's just been awesome. I'd love to stay, and like I don't want to get traded. Like I love it. It's home.
Now, that's not the way Boras wants his clients to speak. So Pete wants to stay here. I don't think that's lip service. I think he wants to be here. Now, he did turn down a contract offer. I'm not saying he's not about the money. He wants to get paid. But he didn't speak, you know, at all guardedly. He wants to stay here. But it doesn't seem like the Mets want to keep him. And I'm telling you, the similarities between Barkley and Alonso are amazing. It's scary how close they are. They're almost identical, Peter. Identical situations. Think about it. Saquon Barkley, drafted by the Giants, a forever Giant, great player. Same thing with Pete Alonso with the Mets. Both of them becoming free agents, and it doesn't seem like either of the organizations they play for wanted to keep them. And then the similarity where when you watch the Hard Knocks with the Giants, John Mara wanted to keep Barkley. But Shane's in charge, and there is a salary cap. So John Mara took a step back, even though clearly he wanted to keep Barkley, and Barkley wanted to stay. Giants didn't want to keep him. He leaves. Seems like it's a similar situation, except Steve Cohen doesn't have to worry about a salary cap. Will he, Peter, back off the way Mara did and let Stearns do what he needs to do and not Bigfoot him? Or when this comes time, especially depending on what happens over the next, if the Mets do not trade him, and he ends up having a successful season, and the Mets go to the playoffs and beyond, will Steve Cohen step in and say, no, David, I trust your judgment, but we don't have a cap. I'm prepared to go over the luxury tax. I'm sitting on billions of dollars, and it's burning a hole in my pocket. We're keeping Pete, and won't back off the way John Mara did. I think that's where maybe my analogy kind of splits to where will Cohen back off the way Mara did, or will Cohen say, hey, I got the money. We're not in a cap sport. I'm willing to take on the luxury tax and all that comes with that. I don't want Pete to go.
The number one question is that how he feels? Do we know that that is how Steve Cohen feels about Pete Alonso?
We knew Mara wore his heart on his sleeve. And we have a history of how he felt about Eli and how he felt about guys that he drafted and Forever John. I don't know how Steve Cohen feels about, man, now he grew up a Yankee fan, his wife's a Met fan, whatever. He wears his Met hat. He seems to be a fan of the team now. But I don't know how deep he feels about these guys that wear the pinstripes the way Mara does.
That sort of gets to the conversation we kind of briefly touched on the other day about Alonso and using Saquon as that comp. Does the fan base feel that way about Pete? Like that's the question. Now, you're asking a different question. Is he the kind of owner who will put his foot down if he, in fact, feels that way? That's your question.
Mm-hmm.
And I would... I can't call it yet with Cohen. Like, I really can't. I mean, Don, to be honest, that's a huge question. Like the decision on whether or not he's the kind of guy who does that, that will really be the proof on what kind of owner he is. And we don't know that yet.
See, that's why I bring it up. Thank you for leading me there. Is that all Met fans are really excited to have Steve Cohen that's going to spend big-time money, and now we're at not a poverty franchise anymore like we were with the Wilpons, where one mistake would make them all of a sudden become the Kansas City Royals for a decade. But if we know David Stearns is an X's and O's guy, he's an analytic guy, he's not going to be free spending. He is going to do what he thinks is right for the baseball team. He doesn't seem to like Pete Alonso, doesn't think Pete Alonso fits into the team he wants to build, and is willing to let him go. If he lets David Stearns run the team as he wants to, then I'd ask the question, then what good is Steve Cohen's money? If Steve Cohen's money is going to help this team eventually get over the top, then you need a general manager that thinks in like mind with him. If David Stearns is going to talk him out of paying for somebody that he doesn't believe deserves to be paid, well, then does it really matter how much money Steve Cohen has? Like, so I'm really curious. Like, if Steve Cohen wants to keep Pete Alonso and says, I want this guy to help me sell tickets. I like him. I want him to be a forever Met. I happen to hear Don LaGreca's rant about Ed Cranepool, and I want to change that. I want to make Pete Alonso the face of this franchise for the rest of his career. And David Stern says, no, Steve, I'm telling you, we can't do that. I think I can do better. Let me do my job. Then what good is Steve Cohen's money? Because I don't think Steve Cohen's going to spend like a drunken sailor. I think he's going to do what's right for the baseball. And I'm cool with that because I trust him and I think he's going to build a good team. But then obviously you're not getting from Steve Cohen what you think, because it sounds like they'll be like the Yankees. They're going to work in a budget and they're not going to overpay. They're not going to pay a penny more than they think somebody's worth. So my scary thing from a Met standpoint is we all think that Steve Cohen's going to pay whatever for Juan Soto. He's going to blow the Yankees out of the water, and he is going to get Juan Soto at all costs. But what if David Stern says, no, Steve, come on, we're not paying $60 million for Juan Soto. That's silly. This is what I think we should offer him. And all of a sudden now the Mets aren't using their wealth, and now he's got a chance to go someplace else or stay with the Yankees. I don't know. And this could be a really good test case how this is handled with Alonso, what kind of power Steve Cohen actually has. Or is this David Stern's team? And if that's the case, then what good's all this money?
I would almost argue, though, it's not a matter of whether he has the power, because we know that he has the power. It's just, is that the kind of owner he is? Does he flex the muscle?
Or he just says, I have my baseball people.
And but that's a huge difference, because the distinction is the owners who fail are the ones who say they're going to let people do what they do, but then they overstep.
But in the Giants case, John Mara, if football wasn't a cap sport, I think John Mara wins the faceoff. Let's just give Saquon what he wants. Because it doesn't matter. I can pay him $25 million. True. It's not a cap sport. We're in New York. We print money. But in a cap sport, Mara had to be like, all right, listen,
I gotta listen to the money people.
I gotta listen to these guys because, listen, I followed my heart with Eli Manning. Look what that got me. You know, I can't follow my heart. I got to use my head here. We can't afford to make a mistake. We can't overpay for a player. But Steve Cohen can.
But then, so that's an interesting conversation, though. I guess, Don, all we can do is speculate on whether or not we think he's that. The other question I have today for Mets fans is, do you see Pete Alonso as that guy? Like, we're sitting here. He's having a great year. He is a major reason why your team now basically, as Dave Rothenberg put it earlier, will basically be competing up until when the football season starts, at least. Pete Alonso is a big reason for that. Do you have love for Pete the way Giants fans have love for Saquon? It's an interesting conversation because we knew how they felt about Saquon.
But right now, the Mets are in a run, and it really hasn't involved Pete as much as Saquon was involved in the Giants run in 22.
True. But then, of course, this year he's coming off of what was not a very special season. So everyone's situation is different. Game Time brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Coverage of the All-Star Game. That's right. The MLB All-Star Game can be heard on 98.7 right here, starting at 7. And my New York Liberty host the Sun at 7 o'clock. That's their last game before the break. That's Game Time brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. All the phone lines are jammed, but we will talk to you on the other side. A lot to break down. We do want to do more of the football, Don, and get more into the Aaron Rodgers, what the ceilings could be for this team, plus more rankings from the greatest players of the 21st century, which is a lot of fun as well. All right? Peter, Don, The Case Show on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Don Carr.
Get more in a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. More selection and more savings during the Mazda Find Out event, like the new 2024 Mazda CX-32.5S all-wheel drive, lease for just $199 a month, or buy with 0% APR financing for 36 months at Ramsey Mazda. Route 17 North in Ramsey. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 833-853-2970 for lease details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN number RM694903. MSRP 26,840 and 73124.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals that includes email, social, SMS, and more, so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. This podcast is brought to you by Aura. Imagine a world where your personal information is locked down tighter than a defense making the game-winning stop on fourth and goal. Your home and email addresses, phone numbers, birthday, all of your personal information you don't want getting into the wrong hands. Luckily for you, Aura makes that world a reality. Aura is your ultimate teammate in the battle against robocalls and telemarketing and junk mail by stopping data brokers from selling your personal information on the internet to spammers, scammers, and anyone else who may want to target you by automatically submitting opt-out requests on your behalf, putting you back in control. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 14-day trial plus a check of your data to see if your personal information has been leaked online. All for free when you visit aura.com/fantasy. That's aura.com/fantasy to sign up for a 14-day free trial and start protecting you and your loved ones. That's aura.com/fantasy. Certain terms apply, so be sure to check the site for details.
Are you ready to build your company's dream team? Just like in sports, finding skilled players is essential for success. With Robert Half's winning combination of specialized recruiting professionals and award-winning AI, we'll help you find the MVPs and key role players who will have you hanging banners in the rafters. Because in business, it's all about having the experienced team on your side. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
When did Dave say that?
That's my jam.
And for what jam was he talking?
Right Now by Van Halen. It was the beginning. You got over there, don't you, Jacob? It was just the beginning. We played the beginning of it.
Okay.
And he got all high. He started going all 1980s. You know, it's very funny, by the way. David, what a great talk show. It's maybe pound for pound the best, some say. I've heard many people say he's the best. He he was, I was giving him a hard time for Alex's jersey choice. Because I got him the authentic. I said, and Dave told me the story. He said he went to Alex and said, Peter wants to give you an authentic Giant jersey. Think clearly about what you want this to be. And we talked about who it could have been. Dexter Lawrence. Dave mentioned Kayvon. Mm-hmm. Akirke even. You know, guys will be around. Yeah. Might be a part of this team.
Might be.
And the young boy... decided to go with Darren Waller.
Well, there was a lot of hype around him. I know, but he was being optimistic.
He was being a kid. Because he got caught up being a kid.
13-year-olds aren't jaded the way we are.
But Anthony, do you hear the part when in discussing it, Dave just routinely and casually referred to him as an idiot? It was very funny.
Now, did I tell you that I did eventually get him a gift?
A bar mitzvah gift?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was, I don't remember it being a delayed situation. What did you end up getting?
Well, because we went to Ben's back before the pandemic. Mm. That was Ben's.
Oh, you mean
my bar mitzvah gift for son one.
For right. Ben, whose Didn't name you've clearly forgotten in this moment.
Right. So his second son.
Alex.
Alex. We were invited to the bar mitzvah. I couldn't go because it was on my anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to send him a check, leave him a check.
Anthony, you know what happens on the anniversary, right?
And I never.
Oh, yeah.
And I never. Never got around to getting him anything.
How long passed here, Don?
So, it's game five, right. Eastern Conference Final, Rangers-Panthers.
Oh, hello.
And we had the whole suite set up. You were invited, but you couldn't go.
Oh, I remember the situation.
And I was working the game, but I swung by, hung out. I was only doing pre and post, so I was available to kind of hang during the game. And I noticed Alex had a replica Artemi Panarin jersey. So I said, you know what? I'm going to run down to the shop, and I got him an authentic Artemi Panarin jersey. And I gave it to him, and I said, I'm sorry, late, but here's your bar mitzvah gift.
Oh, my God. First of all, I'm a little annoyed. I mean, you copied my gift.
No, I don't think so. How would I copy your gift?
Anthony, are you sensing any gift copying here?
Well, no, because Artemi Panarin is way more important to the
Rangers. Well, that was his fault. But Anthony, this doesn't sound familiar to you?
Well, look, I think if you're a son of Dave and you're a big sports fan, I mean, this...
So you,
what else
so you have
get?
Cornered you cornered the market on jerseys.
Authentic jerseys, because that's
all right,
what makes
authentic
it special.
Football, I win hockey. Listen, well, I was no, by a year the way, late. Listen, it was...
How much they running for in the store?
Well...
At the stadium?
Yeah,
at
so
it,
but I well the reason I took advantage of it is I do get a discount as an employee, but it was still two plus bills. It was still it was an expensive gift, but it was also 10 months later.
Do they sell an authentic Knick jersey at the building?
Not during a Ranger game, but yeah, no, during a Knick game, of course.
Wait, hold on. They clear all those stores. They mm-hmm. they clear the store.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Why is it insane? What do you think they do during Jet games after a Giant game?
What, Anthony, they just flip it? They just turn the store around?
Yeah, they just...
Yeah, they just turn it.
What do you mean?
On the other side of where the Knicks stuff is,
yeah,
facing the wall, is the Ranger stuff. They just
so, like, literally the wall gets flipped?
Yeah, just flip the wall.
On the downstairs one, the one that's in the main concourse, I know that they could just turn it and flip it.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. That's so it's not people walking through and taking every hanger down. Okay, this
no, but it's amazing. Then that's what they do with the Giants and the Jets.
Well,
they have a week, but sometimes if the Giants play a Sunday game and the Jets are Monday at home.
But this is a terrible comparison.
Why is it terrible?
Come on, you know the answer. The Rangers and the Knicks are the same thing. They could keep it all up all the time. They're sister teams, no?
Yeah, but I think they want to fill the room because you would sacrifice some Knicks stuff if you had Ranger apparel there. So they only have so much room in these stores. It's not like you're walking through a Walmart. You got the store. So if they mixed and matched Rangers and Knicks, there would be some things that were lost for both. So you want to have all the different jerseys. You want to have the Winter Classic jersey, Stadium Series jerseys, different hats and stuff. So they flip it.
That's okay. You know what? It's a good gift by you. Was he happy?
But it was oh my God, he was elated.
Well, now he has a jersey he can actually wear. Darren Waller, I bought him the jersey Big Don so he could like grow into it.
Yeah, that's not going to age well. What are you going to do?
No, it's garbage. What, you're going to wipe up drinks with it? It's garbage. Now, can you, if it's a nice, authentic jersey.
Well, what if he became a fan of his music? Would that be something you can wear to a concert? Or would you need to go with the Raider one?
No, what you have to do is, what number was Waller again? Like 13 remember. Or something? What was he? No, that's, what was, he's a low number, right?
It was a low number. It's
as you can see, it's super impactful.
But this made an impact. The question.
But my question was going to be, if you're wearing a jacket to the game, which you often are at a football game, who's number 12? Oh, you know what? When Daniel Jones is invariably replaced, maybe your next quarterback wears 12.
And maybe you're really lucky and the draft is Waller, and then you're set.
And then you're really in business. All right, let's take a couple phone calls here from the people. Let's see. So many people. Reggie in Harlem. Good old Reggie in Harlem. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, my man Peter and Don, what's up, man?
How are you?
I'm doing all right. My thing is with last night, I think they should have people send in a demo because, all right, she was drunk, right? But Carl Lewis wasn't drunk. And that young girl that Mo Cheeks helped get through it, she wasn't, you know, she was a young girl. She wasn't drinking.
Clearly, they have to audition. You have to send a tape in.
Well, no. She's been nominated for 4 Grammys.
No, but he's just talking about other people. You're not talking about her,
yeah,
right?
Clearly,
she's
qualified. Yeah, I mean, just overall, let them know, you know, so they can prove that they know the song. You know what I'm saying? Besides her being drunk, you know, like you gotta like with the Carl Lewis, he didn't even know the song. That young girl didn't know the song. So they need to send in demo.
Well, obviously she didn't know the song.
I thought she knew it
because she was drunk.
What I'm saying is, right, okay, yeah. I thought that she knew the song, but that's just for overall, for everybody. Need to send in a demo because, like I said, Carl Lewis didn't know the song. That young girl didn't know the song. You know, so I think that would eliminate it. And then also, you know, try to tell them, you know, not to drink. I mean, I don't know how much they could control that, them drinking, but
it was not great. No, Reggie, would you ever consider, if you were offered, singing the national anthem?
Because
you do so, when you call, Reggie, you sound a little like Killa Cam. I've said that before. I mean, listen, if not the national anthem, you could at least sing the Dipset anthem, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, I do that.
All right, Reggie.
I'd sing the national anthem, too.
Thank you, Reggie. Jacob, you don't hear Cam and Emily at all? Or are you too young to really appreciate Cameron's voice?
It's crazy, because as soon as you say I heard Killa Cam, the whole song, him in the background just talking.
He sounds like there's a little of his quality that sounds like Cam. I always hear that.
I don't know if it's a New York thing or an uptown thing.
It might be an uptown thing. There may be an uptown accent that I was sleeping on. Let's go to Drew in Hoboken. Hey, Drew.
Hey, guys. I wanted to talk about the anthem quickly. And I think, if nothing else, I would argue that we need more instrumentalists playing the national anthem versus singers. But I also want to give you guys props for handling it with nuance, because obviously, like, we hope if this is serious, she gets the help she needs. But, you know, when you pair the last part of the apology in text form with swearing, it does kind of come across as a bit disingenuous. But, you know, props to you guys for handling it with nuance. You know, these are serious issues, and, you know, let's hope if she gets the help she needs.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that she's not going to take it seriously. She's not going to be able to get the help. And if it's a fact where she's just using that as an excuse and she doesn't have a problem, then shame on her. But if she does have a problem, hopefully this was her kind of using humor in a serious moment. Because, again, text is really difficult to tell tone, right?
I mean, maybe
if she... We were interviewing her, and she said that, and she giggled. You'd be like, all right, she's just trying to make light of a very serious moment, but hopefully she gets some help, because she's exceptionally talented. And, yeah, it's not going to hurt her career. If anything, it'll probably enhance it. But what's not going to help her is if she's got a real problem and isn't taken care of. So, hey, it helped Joe Namath, right? I mean, Joe Namath wouldn't have gotten help if not for that moment with Susie Colbert. But it was an embarrassing moment. It woke him up to his situation, and he was able to find clarity through that. So hopefully what we're looking at as a lighthearted, fun moment that opened the show is a serious moment that turns her life around, if indeed there is a problem.
Let's go to Mike on the island. What up, Mike?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey there. Hi.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, buddy. You got like a window up or something? Window down? Anything you can do to reduce the air situation?
How is that? Is that any better? Or I think it's just my car, unfortunately.
Yeah, what are you? Are you driving an 18-wheeler? Yeah. I mean, this is insane.
Well, go for your point. We'll see if we can fight through it.
It's an 18-wheeler Prius. Anyways, I was actually talking to Anthony about how you guys have been trying to find that, like, the Aaron Rodgers voice. And I was thinking the other day, and I think I found the perfect voice for Aaron Rodgers, and it's something like a Hank Hill sounding. Like, you know, like how Hank Hill was like, you know, I love these propane and propane accessories, and I love the New York Jets.
Wait, but why would he go, why do you think he should go, I love Hank Hill impressions, but why Hank Hill?
Because if you listen to him, when you hear him talk, he definitely has that Hank Hill sounding, like, that slow drawl to him, especially when he, like, really starts talking about, like, things that he's passionate about. I feel like when Hank Hill starts talking about propane, he's very passionate about that, and that's how I feel Aaron Rodgers gets.
Mike, I'm not mad at that. I want to re-listen to some Aaron Rodgers audio. But when I think Hank Hill, I think it's very different.
Listen, I think we have a voice for Aaron Rodgers, and it's what Peter Rosenberg's doing. I think he's nailed it. I think it's special.
It's coming along.
I love it. It's workshopped it, which was a risk that you decided to take, and we're all better for it.
You know what? And now we know what they're saying?
That's my jam.
Let's go to Caesar in Huntington. Hey, Caesar.
All hail.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hello. Don, Peter, yeah, it's always a pleasure to connect with you guys. As far as, did anybody actually watch the Home Run Derby?
Not really.
I'm like, right. I mean, how bad is that for the country? I mean, you know, we're going through trials and tribulations. And, yeah, it's like, oh, okay, I got to hear that. It's like, oh, great.
But you know what, Caesar? I'm not going to apologize for that. I mean, listen, I don't. The reason I'm not a big fan of the Home Run Derby because it's batting practice. Part of what's great about a home run is there's a pitcher throwing a ball trying to get you to strike out, and you hit a home run. So it's not my thing. And I think that but these are moments. Who knows why? I bet you if this was let's say this anthem was before the Copa America final, which millions of people watch.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes just as viral. Like, I don't think this is a referendum on how bad the Home Run Derby is.
No.
I think it would have happened anyway.
Oh, no. I think, like I told you, I think this helped the Home Run Derby. I think the only difference would have been if this didn't happen, no one would have talked about it. Who won the Home Run Derby?
But I don't. It was Hernandez.
Okay.
Teoscar Hernandez. But we wouldn't break it down anyway. What's there to break down?
Also, Anthony made a really good point, which is rare because he's not bright. But he sent me. Look, he's not even listening. He doesn't even know. He sent me.
Believe me. You know, it's more he felt it rather than heard it.
Well, no, with Anthony, you know what my worry is? He's like Steve Buscemi and Billy Madison, just writing down the names on the list of people he's coming for.
And then putting lipstick on?
Yeah, and then putting.
I don't think. If I were to come up with a top five scenes that I just burst out laughing and had to rewatch numerous times, that would be in the top five. When I first saw that, I laughed out loud.
By the way, I have to tell you, if you're looking for a few laugh out loud spots, I know Michael will give me a hard time and think I'm getting paid for it. I got to tell you, I LOL'd for the first time in a while at the new Bad Boys.
Okay.
There are like a few Martin Lawrence parts that have that same thing of like, you're just very surprised by where they decided to go. Because that's what that scene is about, is that Buscemi's writing down the names. And then when he sits back and starts putting on the lipstick, you're like, what? Now, as time went on and you get to know Sandler's movies better, in retrospect, it's not a crazy thing that they did.
Yeah, but in 95.
It was new. Like, we hadn't seen.
Billy Madison was his first movie. So I mean,
it was his baby.
Yeah.
So like, by the time you get through Happy Gilmore, that kind of scene wouldn't surprise you the same way. But in that moment, you're like, what?
There's another scene in that movie that's similar.
So
Billy Madison.
So I'm going to see if I can guess what it is on the other side. But Anthony said something interesting earlier. And I'll say this before we break and get to more of your calls. One line is open at 1-800-919-3776. What the hell did you say? Oh, the way that they reformatted the Home Run Derby. We understand that they were trying to help the players. There were 100 less home runs hit. People already didn't think it was great. Are 100 less home runs the way to improve it? I'm not so sure. We'll get into some of the football. We'll go back to Pete Alonso. Take more of your calls. Peter and Don on the Yes Network in ESPN New York. Now, hold on. I think I have to talk to you about something. That's right. Security Dodge, Long Island Ram and Wrangler headquarters. Come get some during the Make This the Summer event, whether you're looking for the best no money down lease deal in New York or to get the absolute best trade-in value for your car or to take advantage of a huge selection of certified pre-owns. Go visit Michelle Scalise personally, and she will make sure you have the best car buying experience and get the best deal possible. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com.
This episode is brought to you by Experian. Are you paying for subscriptions you don't use but can't find the time or energy to cancel them? Experian could cancel unwanted subscriptions for you, saving you an average of $270 per year and plenty of time. Download the Experian app. Results will vary. Not all subscriptions are eligible. Savings are not guaranteed. Paid membership with connected payment account required.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Oh, you know what?
This actually sounds pretty good. What is this?
That's my jam.
I'm not... If I ever say something like that, you have permission to just punch me square in the nose.
Not the forehead, though.
No, because... That's a completely different experience.
That's the Dipset Anthem by the Diplomats.
I like it from what I heard.
Cameron, Jim Jones.
The Jim Jones?
Well, my Jim Jones. Hmm. By the way, happy belated birthday to Jim Jones. His birthday a couple days ago. My birthday is a week from today. You know what I'm doing at some point in the next several days? I don't want to give away the details, but okay. I'm shooting an interview for something. And I just was told... that we are doing a section inside the stadium.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, Yankee Stadium.
That's right. Yankee Stadium.
So obviously it's somebody that's associated with the Yankees.
I don't want to play a whole guessing game here on that. I don't want to know.
All right. No, because I think
you can guess off the air.
I think I'll guess off the air. I don't want to guess on it.
Yeah, because I mean, I want to save it. It's a thing. But yeah, I'm told we're going to be doing it in the stadium. Now, I was alerted about something troubling that happened on the DiPietro and Rothenberg show relating to my friend Don.
Okay.
Let's listen in.
So Don took the lessons three beach bashes ago when he sang Mrs. Robinson, I guess.
And that was after voice lessons.
That was after lessons.
And it's you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know.
If it was Willie Wilson that gave him those lessons,
I think so. Yeah.
Do you lose all credibility? Like, how could you? Like, you have a young child. You want to learn to sing properly. You can't now bring him to Willie Wilson after he's worked with Don.
That's in fairness right. to Willie Wilson, though, how did he sound before the lessons? Though we don't know.
Well, guess what? We got Willie Wilson on the line.
But that was a bad example, Willie. I that song. I don't know. It got away from me. But like you've done a great job anthem. With that. You're very good at teaching me to sing. I think that the people that like me singing, it's because of you.
Thank you, Don. How you guys doing?
How you been, Willie?
Good. Things are great. So first of all, Mrs. Robinson, we didn't take lessons at that point, Don.
Oh.
Your lessons started. The song after lessons was Creep. And if there's one guy who knows music, it's Peter Rosenberg, and his quote was, "Wow, he's improved." Do you remember that, Peter?
I do. Do you have Creep over there? I think we have it. Creep. Now it makes sense.
Which is a very difficult song to sing.
And that's when Don went to the next level, when it was Creep.
Exactly.
Here we go. Here's Don singing Creep.
Whatever you were before.
Just poke fun at me, and then I didn't even know about it because I didn't listen to their yo-yo show today. And you know what? And the thing with Mrs. Robinson, that was just a bad choice of why I felt I needed to sing with an English accent. That really had nothing to do with me singing poorly. It's just I was
coo-coo,
like,
ka-choo, I was Mrs. Robinson.
I thought I lost it. Willie, I was in the moment, and it got
Willie,
lost.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
And you should be proud of what you've done with Don LaGreca.
Thanks, guys. Also, just to, before you cut me off here, then the next year he did the Meatloaf song, and even Michael, who loves to poke fun at Don, said, "Wow, that was really good."
Bad out of hell.
Willie,
you did a terrific job. These guys don't know what they're talking about. All due respect to the others we have at our events, Willie. No one's Willie Wilson. You know what I mean?
And Willie is going to be at the softball on the 27th,
playing music or playing softball.
He's going to be playing music.
Oh. Wait, is that a new thing? Have we done that before?
When he's available. He hasn't been available the last couple of years.
So can I ask you a question? This is so important. I'm bringing something to the air that's important.
Okay.
And I'm sorry to air it out on the air,
sure.
But it needs to be done.
All right.
When he comes, will he bring his own system? He'll bring like a sound system to play on?
Yes.
Okay.
And we will make sure that that's the sound system we use to introduce everybody because I don't know what.
Every year, the only thing that doesn't work at Don's softball game is they do the player introductions and Mrs. Sasso gives her little talk.
And nobody hears it.
And nobody hears a word. And I'm always looking around, talking to your brother, going, "Can you hear anything? I can't hear anything."
I think what we're going to do is last year, we were giving scholarships to kids in need in the Hawthorne area. I think this year it should be to get a new PA system for the Wakefield. I think that's what
it's so bad.
Yeah, because
all right, but Willie's
really
coming though, so you'll have some.
We're going to be okay.
And I felt bad, like I didn't even realize I couldn't be heard, and I'm like, you think these guys would pay attention when I introduced them?
No.
I had some really cool stories. I talk about that my dad coached there and stuff, and then nobody hears it.
I know you're telling your love story with Greg Buttle every year, and nobody can hear what you're saying.
It was kind of like how I felt when I first started working at ESPN. I was like talking to myself. Before we grew an audience.
Oh, no. This
is like back, like 02.
Maybe you grab the mic and we get a little.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know.
See, that's not bad. I don't know what I was. I was just trying to be.
Coo-coo-coo-choo. Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
It's me, Johnny the Greco,
it's so weird
baby.
Because Simon and Garfunkel aren't English.
I thought you were doing like a cover of a cover.
No, because who covered it? It's the Lemonheads.
Oh, so
I don't think they're English either. I just think
maybe you're an idiot.
Listen,
it's on the table.
But I don't make me part of the fun, man. Like, don't sit there and make fun of my singing when everybody seemed to like it.
Right. And then laughing.
You know what? I think they're jealous.
Dave's jealous too.
Because I got to be honest with you.
Go ahead.
Dave's kind of a frump. Like he what did he bring to the table?
Not much.
As far as like he just sits there.
He's mad
when he loses trivia again.
I mean, he's a great host.
I told you, he's pound for pound the best host on the station. I love the guy.
But he's not an athlete.
But
not a singer.
DiPietro, fun. Bart, fun. Han, fun. Kay, fun.
Yeah. But Dave.
Dave felt like he sends out a vibe like, I really don't want to be here.
Yeah. And he's jealous that you bring the vibe of fun.
And I don't care. Make fun of me. I don't care. But make me part of the fun.
That's right.
Don't make fun of me behind my back.
The way they were laughing
Why couldn't they call me
to your face.
And then Rip It and Willie, who's really good at what he does.
Yeah, exactly.
These are salt of the earth people. These are better people than Dave.
1-800-919-3776. Yes, all the phone lines are jammed, but we will get to you. It's the Kay Show. Big 4 o'clock hour next right here on ESPN New York and Yes.
Well, to hit a home run, everything needs to line up perfectly. No different than finding the person you want to marry. When the time comes to propose, do what I did. Visit the engagement experts at London Jewelers. They'll make shopping for a ring easy and help you hit it out of the park. Let them help you pick or design the perfect ring to fit any budget from their 2x London collection. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right. So visit London Jewelers today, any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Mention I told you to stop by, you'll get the Michael Kay treatment.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.